Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Spirent half-year results call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 5th of August, 2015. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speakers today, Eric Hutchison, the Chief Executive Officer, and Rachel Whiting, Finance Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this call at short notice. For those of you who don't have a copy of the presentation, it's available on the investor section of the Spirent website. I will refer to the slide deck on this call. Please note the safe harbour statement at the front of the slide pack. As you've seen in the press release, we've released our figures earlier than planned due to the reforecasting of our full-year expectations, which was completed this morning. Although we have seen good momentum in networks and applications segment, this has been offset by weakness in our wireless business and delays to the timing of revenues in service assurance. This has an adverse impact on profitability in the first half. And although we expect the second half to show growth compared to last year, and revenues to be broadly in line with expectations for the full year, the low profit in the first half, the ongoing investment in the business, and the anticipated revenue mix change means that profits for the year will be materially below the board's expectations. I will provide some more detail on the outlook at the end of the presentation and some of the market dynamics. But first, Rachel was going to provide an overview of the results and a breakdown of the performance by division. Rachel.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to start by providing you with an overview of the first half. As Eric said, networks and applications gained momentum during the second quarter, but this was more than offset by softness in wireless. As previously highlighted on our trading update, a number of orders were received too late in the period to convert to revenue. As a result, this impacted our profit performance, which was also lower because of our increased investment in product development and in sales and marketing. Our investment, which is now starting to show returns, combined with the fact that we're maintaining our dividend at 1.68 cents per share, underline our confidence in the future. We grew our order book, giving a book-to-bill ratio of 103, reflecting a strong finish to the half, which underpins this confidence. Turning to the group's comparative results for the first half, we see that revenue was 218.7 million, with strong growth of 6% in North America, being offset by lower revenue in APAC and EMEA, which were down 10% and 9% respectively. As previously highlighted, compared to the first half of 2014, revenue was impacted by the timing of the shipment of handheld test tools. After a slow start to the year, revenue grew strongly in Q2, up 12%, but that was slightly below our expectations due to the many orders that were received too late in the period to convert to revenue. As I've already mentioned, the reduced operating profit of $6 million reflects revenue being slightly below our expectations and the continuing investments that we're making in product development and in sales and marketing, particularly in our acquired businesses, which will benefit 2016 and beyond. The reported tax rate for the first half was 26%, and our expected rate for the full year is 25%. Looking at each of the operating divisions, and first at networks and applications, which accounts for 49% of group revenue, we saw growth in order intake across all businesses in this division, particularly in the second quarter, where we grew order intake by 6%, resulting in a book-to-bill ratio of 111. This growth was driven by high demand for our wireless infrastructure solutions, where bookings were up 28%, driven by 4G network rollouts. It was also driven by 100 gigabit Ethernet demand and by demand for our security solutions, where bookings were up 20%. Gross margin in this division improved to 69.5% due to a positive product mix. We continued our investment here in product development and made additional investments in sales and marketing to work more directly with customers and to support the new product releases. During the period, we've also extended our leadership position and seen success at leading equipment vendors for our SDN and NFV test solutions, where bookings are up 34%. Turning now to the Wireless and Service Experience division, which accounts for about 39% of group revenue. In this division, we saw order intake and revenue both decrease by 2%. Growth in our positioning and service experience businesses was more than offset by softness in our wireless business. On the plus side, we received significant orders from the US government sector for our high-end solutions in positioning. And in service experience, we benefited from test campaigns for new handsets and services, and also from our new lab facility in China that we opened in the first half, which is already opening new opportunities for us in the region. Wireless, on the other hand, was impacted by a combination of a major customer in Asia spending significantly less in 2015 than in 2014, by consolidation in the wireless device ecosystem, and by intense competition in the market. As a result of the softness in wireless, we took action to reduce our costs in that business, which is with expected annual cost savings of $6 million, and these will benefit the second half year. We finished the half year in a good position overall with a book-to-bill ratio of 106. Turning now to service assurance, which accounts for 12% of revenue in the first half. As we previously noted, revenue here was distorted by the phasing of the delivery of field test units to a major North American service provider. You see a large increase here in our costs as a result of the full impact of operating expenses from the acquisitions made in 2014, where we have been investing in new application development with a focus on VoLTE. We've also developed our Test Center Live virtual probe, which is now in trials at two major US operators, and a 100 gig probe, which is already installed at one operator. And we've won new business for our software solutions in MobileThink, which will be recognised as revenue in 2016 and beyond. We're also currently bidding for business, which we expect to benefit 2016. Now let me hand you back to Eric, who will discuss the market, our strategy and the outlook.
Thank you, Rachel. If we look at the market opportunities, you'll see that in the slide pack there's a lot of information at the back of the presentation which I've appended, which talk about the trends and the operational progress we are seeing in the various segments of the business. But for this purpose of this call, let me summarise. We see significant investment worldwide in digital technologies, creating a backdrop that creates demand for new ways to test and assure digital connectivity. The build-out of new services by wireless service providers as a result of the deployment of voice over LTE, voice over Wi-Fi, rich communication suite, creates new requirements for test processes. Our customers are asking us to provide new test methodologies to meet the needs of virtual network management and seek to place more in the live network. Security threats and attacks are a daily occurrence, creating a need for better systems to test vulnerabilities, and we're investing in developing those capabilities. A recurring theme is one of efficiency by better utilization of resources by our customers through more and more automation of test processes. And interoperability challenges are everywhere. We also see a need to test the vulnerability of positioning technologies and the associated timing processes with industrial and financial systems. We have introduced leading test solutions in all of these areas, generated by our reinvestment program, leading us to have increased confidence in the future of our business. The networks and applications segment, those businesses are seeing good growth prospects in high-speed Ethernet, 100 gigabit, and in the requirements for 25 gigabit developments and deployments. The wireless infrastructure market is growing strongly, driven by Wi-Fi and the deployment of diameter technologies, and advances have been made in our security test solutions. Service Assurance is bidding for significant contracts for data analytics in customer experience management, and prospects in high-speed Ethernet probes and virtual technologies are promising for next year's business. Wireless and Service Experience is seeing good levels of business in Service Experience and positioning product lines, as Rachel mentioned, but the contraction in the carrier acceptance systems test market for smartphones, lower demand from major carriers and device manufacturers resulted in falling revenue for our wireless device test business. Our wireless new test platform is being developed, it has been launched, and is expected to offset any further reductions in demand for existing device test systems in the future. Through the right strategic investments, we have repositioned Spirent to be able to expand our served markets to $2.8 billion, where we have significant market shares. The served markets all show growth potential, with some niche segments growing at very high rates. We have added automotive, customer experience, data management, analytics and device intelligence to the served markets and expanded our Wi-Fi test capabilities. So if I turn to the outlook, as Rachel said, the slow start to the year combined with our strategy to invest in the health and long-term prospects of the business has resulted in low profitability for the first half. We continue to expect the second half to show growth over last year, and we expect full year revenues to be broadly in line with expectations. Full year profit is likely to be materially below our previous expectations, reflecting the low profitability in the first half, our ongoing investment levels, and the anticipated adverse revenue mix, where we're seeing a lower mix of pure software sales due to timing issues. Our product offerings, pipeline and customer activity levels give us confidence in the prospects for the group going forward. So thank you for attending the call. I'll now pass back to the operator, and Rachel and I will now take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That is star and 1 to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Francois Mounier from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Morning, Eric, on the team. So just a few questions about the development in H2. Is there any pressure on gross margin in H2 to start with compared to last year? The OPEX, that's my second question, in H1 were 143. Shall we expect H2 OPEX to be flat or up compared to H1? And then maybe a longer term question. I understand that you're investing more because you're getting traction in new products, but that's probably because the legacy is not doing so well, as you said in the introduction. So how much time or how many years, hopefully not too many, will it take for operating margins to go back to 10%. Thank you very much.
Did you say 10%, François?
Yeah.
Okay, so the prospects for the second half, we, in terms of the gross margin, we actually expect it to improve somewhat over the previous year. We are seeing the new products driving margins up. We are continue to see a higher software content in the mix compared to the second half of last year. So we probably see about a 1 percentage point improvement in gross margin in the second half year. In terms of the overhead spending, we're looking at around about 150 million, $154 million of overhead spending in the second half. That would get you to an operating profit, you know, not quite at the 10% level. In terms of the investment, it was always looked as though it was going to take 2 years to get the business back on track. We were hoping we might have seen a bit more traction in the second quarter. In the third quarter, we are expecting to see growth, increase in profitability, and in the fourth quarter, on a full year basis for 2016, I think we are looking at being in a position to get through the 10% return on sales. Thereafter, it rather depends on how much top line growth we can get in the business to see any further margin expansion above that.
All right. Thank you, Eric. That's very helpful.
Your next question comes from the line of Owen Lam from Liberum. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Good morning. A few, if I could. Firstly, just on your outlook, I'm trying to understand the divergence between your revenue outlook, which is unchanged, and your profit outlook, which you've reduced. Is there a mix shift in the second half of the year, or why is revenue unchanged and profit a lot lower? Is there higher OPEX or lower gross margin? What's leading to the same revenue and lower profit?
If I look at the way that the expectations for the business have panned out, we would have expected to have made much more money in the second quarter and therefore in the first half year. Having dug that hole for ourselves, which was really caused by two areas that, or three factors. One is that the actual revenue development didn't happen in the second quarter. We increased the order book rather than shipping it. So that's a bit of a timing effect. We should see that benefit coming back in, principally in the networks and applications segment in Q3 and second half year. The other two areas is one that where we saw a decrease in the sale of our existing test systems in wireless device within wireless and service experience. Those products carry a very high gross margin, so that's a negative effect on the mix. We were also spending around about $1 million a month on developing the new test platform, and we're not getting revenue for that in the first half. We've made some bookings, about $1.6 million. We expect to increase that in the second half. And the third area is that in our software-based business for data analytics, we saw delays to projects being placed, which meant that we didn't see the revenue development there in the first half, and that's nearly 100% gross margin because it's software-based. In the meantime, we have been developing a new product platform that will run on a lower-cost database, and so we've stepped up our investment in development expenditure and in promoting that business quite considerably. The plan was to cover that increasing cost out of the additional project revenue. That's been delayed through into the second half and in some of that into 2016. So it's a combination of, as we said, product mix, which is really that impact. And if we take the miss on the first half and a slightly more cautious view of second half profitability, then we get to the need to push the statement out earlier. And that's a conclusion that we came to earlier this morning.
Okay. Thanks. And then just on trying to look at your margins versus your peer group, I think ICSEA last night in Q2 was at 19% margin. Anite is kind of stable at 19% margin. And Anritsu, low teens margin. I think in the first half you're at 3% margin. Is there any structural reason why your margin should be lower than your peer group? And is that just due to your OPEX base? Like, I think your OPEX is roughly 60% of revenue, which is much higher than the rest of your peer group. Do you think your current cost base is suitable for your current revenue run rate? How do you get back to what the margin the other peers are doing?
Yeah. So if you look at the businesses in the sector over historical periods, we all have to go through a period where we sort of reinvent our product lines, and you'll see lower profitability then followed by improvement and getting back on track. And it's all about getting the top line developing. We've clearly had to put much more effort into both catch up and then move ahead in terms of product offering. We're demonstrating that, particularly in the networks and applications business. We're still going through that phase in the wireless business where we're reinventing or evolving our product offering. And we are developing a whole new data analytics strategy and platform in service assurance. So you're right, the operating cost is far too high compared to our current revenues. We've taken some actions where it's very specific, where we feel that it's wrong to carry on spending that money. I think as a company, as a board, and our strategy, that where we are investing, we are seeing businesses that are gaining a lot of recognition and credibility in the market, and that we would see our top line growth coming through and therefore repairing our operating return on sales, and the aspiration is to get it back up into the high teens.
Okay, thanks. And then just one final one on consolidation again. I see Keysight is acquiring Anite. I was wondering what your latest thoughts on consolidation in this space are. I think JDSU is spinning out its testing business, and the sector would benefit from further consolidation. How do you see Spirent taking part, or do you think the sector will consolidate further? And how do you see Spirent taking part in that consolidation?
Yeah, so logically, first, the backdrop is we're seeing more pure play test and measurement businesses in data communications in the public markets than we have seen for many, many years. And people are splitting away, as you say, JDSU splitting into VRV and away from optical. You've seen the Danaher business pushed out into NetScout. You've now seen Keysight as being test and measurement and divorced from life sciences and so on. So there's a lot of pure play out there. We've started to see some of those management teams utilizing their capital base, such as the acquisition of Anite. I think we will continue to see activity in the sector. I would very much like to be in a position to participate, but my key focus is repairing the EBIT and growth prospects for Spirent, which would then give us the capacity to go and do something. In the meantime, what will happen will happen. I would expect to see more activity over the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Aaron George from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Morning, Eric and Rachel. One question is on your revenue outlook for the year. I mean, clearly you've said you're going to be broadly in line with consensus.
Yeah.
And you know, that assumes almost more than a double-digit sales growth in the second half. So I'm just trying to understand in terms of your various business lines, if you can give a bit more color on, you know, your confidence on, you know, growing these three business lines fairly aggressively in the second half in the current backdrop. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if I take the networks and applications business, I think if, as Rachel mentioned, we grew the order book in the second quarter. I'm getting a bit of interference on the line.
Is this better now?
Yeah. So we built the order book there, which gives us confidence that we should see good revenue development in network applications in the third quarter, and naturally we would normally expect to see growth in the fourth quarter as well. So you know, there's a good $5 to $6 million going into Q3 that is building order book. In the service assurance segment, you know, we have built order book back end of last year. That will unwind in the second half of 2015, and there's certainly at least $10 million there that wasn't is over and above the run rate in H2 of 14. The wireless service experience business, we saw growth in order book in service experience and positioning, and we're sort of holding our own in terms of bookings on the wireless business unit. So that we probably would be more likely to say would be flatlining revenues H2 over H2 14. So we'd expect to see revenue growth in networks and applications, revenue growth in service assurance. A fair amount of that is in order book.
Okay, and just a follow-up question on this one major customer in Asia. Can you give us some insight on whether this was also due to maybe some competitive pressures in that customer, or was it simply a case of that customer deciding to do less? And the follow-on to that is, when do you expect this customer to resume its normal level of spend?
So, the customer in question spent a huge amount of money with us in 2014, and is not repeating at those levels and is well below those levels in 2015. I would think, given the dynamics in the smartphone market, that it's unlikely that we'll see that come back strongly in the near term. I'm not sure how it will play out over the longer term. We are seeing some others buying test systems in the wireless market who are new customers, which are based in Asia. So we are seeing some diversification. It's just not to the same level of this of a major device manufacturer out there. Apologies, I can't mention names.
All right, great. Thanks. Thank you.
Your next question comes from James Goodman from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. So could I just firstly come back to a clarification on, I think, the first question around the OPEX and the profitability? I think you said that you were going to be just short of 10% margin for the full year, but if I take a little bit off the sort of consensus revenue number, which I think is 483 or so at the moment,
yeah,
apply 71% gross margin in the second half and take out, I think you said, 154 million of OPEX, I get closer to 7%. Is that right, or have I missed something there? And then I've got a couple of follow-ups on the investment.
So the gross margin, we said, was improving about 1% over last year.
On a full-year basis.
On a full-year basis. And we've already given the number for the OPEX for the H2, expecting to be around 154. So that would get you down to a return on sales for the full year of nearer sort of 8%.
Sorry, if maybe I confused the point by mixing H2 and full year. H2 We expect the sales to be above 10%.
Right, OK, that's a helpful clarification, thank you. So 7 to 8% full year then would be sensible.
Yes, apologies if I misled you.
OK, no, that's fine, thank you. And then on the investment, so it looks like, just simplistically looking at the P&L and the divisionals, that the investment is skewed primarily to sales and marketing rather than R&D. And so I wanted to ask, you know, why so much to the sales resource, and is that really to maintain the current revenue profile? And secondly, it looks also like it's skewed to service assurance, whereas I thought it might be more focused on the core performance analysis divisions. So if you could just help me understand that skew of investment.
Yeah, I think the backdrop is that we'd stepped up our product development engineering spend quite significantly. We feel that we've got those resources in the right place. The area that we feel that we've been at a competitive disadvantage is both marketing the company and in getting people, you know, with the customer, hence the step up in sales and marketing effort this year compared to the prior year. A little bit of that is distorted by the fact that we acquired four businesses last year that all carry sales and marketing overhead, so it looks like it exaggerates the position a bit. But it really is that, you know, we feel that we've done developments, that we've got the products, and we really need to go out and market and sell hard to gain share. The reason that service assurance is impacted more is, I think, Rachel, mainly the acquisition.
It is very much to do with the acquisitions, but we have also, as we said, we've developed the new test centre live virtual probe and 100 gig probe in the core service assurance business as well.
And we've done substantial spending on developing the new data analytics platform.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Lee Simpson from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks so much. That's Stifel. Just a couple of questions, if I could, on virtualization. So maybe if I could just quickly ask on the threats or opportunities around open source. So as we look at it, you're now, you know, you can see from your marketing spend profile that you're traveling the world a little more, and what it is you're trying to do. You'll be talking to Chinese internet companies, et cetera. And I just wanted to see what the sort of appetite was for when they look at virtualized network functions, whether they're doing that with like some OpenStack, Daylight, and or whether or not that's been a big handhold with you guys. And maybe related to that, just wanted to try and understand the deployment, whether it's reached the enterprise data center space as yet. Again, virtualization, and again, referencing the marketing spend. You know, it seemed to us that there's a lot of reticence for companies to decouple firewalls, for instance, and to really spend on tests. This is a real culture shift for enterprise, and if you just give us a sense for, you know, how that testing as a service is working in that vertical.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, you're absolutely right. The data center operators, anybody offering services over the net, they think open source, open stack. They're building their deployments around that. What we're offering them from a test and assurance perspective is, as you implement these processes, how do you validate and assure that everything is working well, whether it's based on open platform or whether it's more proprietary. Now, our business is primarily focused around the service provider. We are not a big supplier of test and assurance into enterprise. So we are gaining more traction with the internet service providers, software as a service providers, but we're yet to break into any significant enterprise deployments. So I'm not sure I'm qualified to give you much more color on the enterprise side of the house, Lee, I'm afraid.
But
you are right that there is a reticence about opening up by enterprise customers. They're very concerned about control over their systems and security.
Yeah.
And that will be an important theme for us going forward.
Precisely. And with that, I mean, because it seems to me at least that, I mean, I'm just trying to determine, that it looks as though there's two distinct phases on virtualization spend, and that second one and longer one, perhaps more drawn out, could be that enterprise space, but potentially larger. And it's just really trying to get a sense for, you know, how far down the road they are, at least in thinking about their test appetites.
As I say, the from our perspective, it's relatively early phase, but we do see that it will offer growth for us, mm-hmm. you know, 2017 beyond probably.
But does that suggest that OPEX is going to have to be still relatively fat? In 2016,
I think it limits my scope to reduce it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Perfectly clear. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Nick James from Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning. Yes, just a couple of questions. One was in terms of the revised profit guidance. I guess I understand kind of the mix effects on gross margin, but a big part seems to be that the OPEX is running well ahead of what was in consensus and what seems to be your previous expectations. So I'm just trying to understand how that can come about, really, that OPEX is running well ahead of expectations. And then the second one's just on the wireless device test business. Is that part of wireless and service experience loss-making at this point, or is it still profitable? And would there be scope for taking, you know, more drastic action to that part of the business, which seems to be causing some issues?
Okay, I mean, I think the short answer is our original anticipation was that we would outperform on the revenue line. The spending profile is in line with our plan.
Behind our plan.
Slightly lower.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen the big software contracts that we were anticipating would help fund that, and therefore we'd hit the EBIT number. The question about wireless.
Wireless cost cutting.
Well, the challenge there is we've taken action so that we can focus on the future developments. I think there is a risk to that business if we take it deeper now. So I think there's limited scope about doing more within the wireless business. I think you'd have to take a different strategic view if you were going to do anything any more than that, Nick.
But just that kind of wireless device business in isolation, I mean, is it making any contribution, or is it making a loss? It
made a loss in the first half.
Yeah, and for the full year it will make a loss. So second half it will make a small profit, but you know, we've attempted to right size it without damaging it, so that it does return to profitability going forward.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from Gareth Jenkins from UBS. Please go ahead.
If I could. It looks like the absolute shortfall for full year EBIT is around $13 to $14 million, just using your numbers you've given us. Can you just, as a follow-up to some of the earlier questions, can you just give us a sense of how that shortfall is mixing between wireless device shortfall, you know, slippage in software contracts, investments? That's the first question, and I'll take the second one afterwards, if that's okay.
Well, if I look at that, what we're seeing is, so we're seeing a decrease in the wireless and service experience EBIT number, which is around about two-thirds of the number that you referred to, and the other third is really coming out of the service assurance segment. And it's primarily based around the investments we're making in the building out the new data analytics platform and the timing of that, of those software contracts. The positive is that we see good momentum in the networks and applications business, and we should see full profit growth and an increase in the operating return on sales in that business.
Just as a follow-on then, I've got a couple more if that's right. The long-term prospects for the wireless device testing, given it's structurally more competitive than some of the other areas that you're in, how do you see the, you know, what's the long-term game plan? Is it to, you know, effectively have a smaller, higher margin business that's more software orientated in future? Is it just, you know, you expect more consolidation in that area, so maybe there's just to end up with fewer players? And then just secondly, in the past you've talked about getting back to high double digit, or sorry, high, not high double digit, high teens margins as a group. I just wondered, you know, do you feel as a business that you're doing more now than you've done in the past, so that structurally those margins maybe are a bit lower going forwards, or do you feel that given the profile of your business, you know, you can still get to that level?
Okay. The wireless business really will be focused around having a software-based platform. So in revenue terms, undoubtedly, it will be a smaller business than it was before, but with higher gross margins. And then it really taps into, you know, how can we exploit that software test platform to move into the longer term areas that look promising, such as automotive, so connected vehicles and machine-to-machine connectivity. That business benefits a lot from the capabilities in networks and applications, and it's looking to get more links into live network deployments. So it's really the first option you gave me, software-based, bit smaller, but increased margin. As a business, we're certainly doing more. We're going after more opportunities. In terms of the profile of the business, we're investing more in earlier phase development that takes some time to pay off. It takes a good 12 months to get a product to market, and it takes about 12 months from that to get to a meaningful revenue. So it's about a 24-month process. I've kicked off probably more initiatives across the group than we have done for many, many years. So as that moves through and the business moves more to software-based tools, provision of testing as a service, we are developing subscription license models in parts of the business. As that evolves, then hopefully in a few years' time we will see a better margin profile and hopefully a bit more predictability around the revenue outlook.
Your next question comes from Rahul Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. Earlier in the call, you said that you pre-announced results because of change in forecast for full year. And obviously, you had broadly inline trading Q2 update last month. So my question is that what really has changed over this intermediate period that you are significantly having this step up in this investment program, firstly? And secondly, can you give us a bit more color in terms of the OPEX for next year as well, please? Thank you.
Okay, so we went through our normal reassessment of the businesses product by product. It's a process we followed, our normal timetable. The conclusion we came to was that really the mix of revenues and the timing of the software contracts, and also a more pessimistic view about the development of wireless device test revenue resulted in a reduced EBIT outlook. It wasn't that in the last 3 weeks that we've decided to spend more money investing in the business. We're just not getting the gross contribution that was covering the spending plan that we already had. We came to the conclusion that it's the right thing for the health of the business to continue to invest in the future for Spirent. And as I said earlier, we got to that conclusion early this morning, and hence we put the statement out. The trading update earlier in the quarter was all about order intake and revenue numbers that we had at the time. We weren't in a position to do any deep dives on the profitability at that stage.
But just to be clear, the investments in the R&D and product are still relating to the OPEX part of it, right? So just wanted to check in terms of what has changed in terms of, I mean, how is the step up in investment? I mean,
the step up investment we flagged at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending in line with those plans. The difference from our perspective is that we were expecting to see a higher profitability at the gross profit level, as we had planned to have much higher software contract mix in our revenue. We don't see that happening this year.
Okay. And what about next year in terms of any color for OPEX or probably gross margin mix effect for the next year?
We would, at this stage, we haven't done our detailed planning for next year. I would hope that we would see a robust gross profit margin development, and we would seek to contain our overhead spending and not increase it significantly.
Okay, thank you so much.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. If there are no further questions, I'll draw the call to a close. Have we got another question?
Yes.
There's one more question.
We have had a question come from the line of Edward Donoghue from One Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, a quick question, a bit simplistic. Just with regard to the actual sort of guidance you're giving, this is, am I correct in thinking this is purely a phasing issue rather than you've actually missing business itself? So we're not going to have to see a step up in sales and marketing to actually go out there and capture the business. Is it actually basically orders have arrived? It's a phasing of when they basically just dropped into the sort of the timing,
yeah,
of the quarter. It's not that you've actually missed business and therefore we're going to require greater spend to basically go out there and capture that business.
No, that's absolutely correct. We've seen some push out on some of our major contracts, and we've already stepped up our sales and marketing effort. I don't see that we should be need to step up from here.
Again, no.
It's just unfortunate that accounting periods have got deadlines on them.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. And if you actually looked at what your team is actually winning, is it what you would have expected them to actually be winning, and looking at the pipeline going forward as well? You'd see yourselves at no competitive disadvantage on that front either.
On the majority of the businesses, they are in good health and we're winning what we expect and we've got good prospects.
The other one being on the, you allude to the software projects. Are those actually in your books and they will be actually phasing through H2, or have you yet to still close those?
So they're not all in our books. We've got some in our books, but the way that it works with the customer is that we have detailed discussions with them on their requirements. They are budgeting to spend that money with us, and we need to work out the detail of the statement of works for each of those projects. And then we can book an order.
Right. The obvious next question is those budgets that they're allocating, are they the same size that you were anticipating when you did the original projections then?
Yes, they are.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Robert Lamb from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just one quick one and then maybe a longer one on the wireless business. I just wanted to clarify the 150-154 on the OPEX. Is that an underlying number or an IFRS number?
That's the OPEX number.
That's our adjusted OPEX number.
Yeah.
So that excludes...
That doesn't include intangible amortization or anything like that.
Okay, great. And then just in terms of the wireless business, I mean, it sounds like you're taking some corrective action there. You've got a new product in the pipeline.
Yeah.
But end markets do feel quite soft there, at least in the short term, and maybe even, you know, longer term growth is slowing in smartphones. So how should we be thinking about the shape of that business longer term?
So I think it's going to go through a period of flatlining in revenue terms for the next couple of years, probably. But as I said earlier, we will seek to have a higher software content and therefore a better gross margin and get the business back into probably modest profitability. So at least it won't be a drag on the group.
Right, okay. Thanks for that. Cheers.
There are no further questions.
Okay, thank you very much everyone for attending. And for your questions, which were interesting and incisive, thank you very much. And I look forward to catching up with you over the next few days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.